I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is your official Leguizamarama spoiler warning. If you have not watched the 2013 animated film Fish and Chips, much like my friend Zach and I hadn't watched up until yesterday, and you've always wanted to know what happens in Fish and Chips the movie, highly recommend not listening to this episode of our podcast. But also, you really don't have to watch the movie. We're not forcing you. But, hey, jump on board. If you've already had a watch and you're ready to hear us chat about it, oh, well, bloody keep on listening.
Peace. I hate the word.
Hello and welcome to Mish and Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where each week Mish and Zach watch every single thing starring their favorite character actor, one John Leguizamo. I am one of those hosts. My name is not Mish, it's Zach. You might know me from the Mish and Zach podcast, which was what we did on Tuesday, if you're listening to this in real time. I'm joined, as always, by Mish Witrup, who you might know from...
You might know from doing the spoiler warning up top of this episode. that was me. I'm back!
This week, we are watching, as said in the spoiler warning, we are watching Fish and Chips the movie. Mish, do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
I would love to, but I will like to, I think it's worth preempting in this episode. Yep. If you're like, hold on a second, where's all the chit chat that happens at the top of this episode?
Hey, good, just in case people are jumping straight in. Yeah.
Just in case that's happened, we split the podcast this week. If you want to hear our chit chat, it's in our previous episode that came out on Tuesday, so a couple of days ago. Just go back in the RSS feed. We're right there, baby.
We just knew, so wherever you're listening, we just knew that the Fish and Chips fans that we're going to be gaining on this podcast, the people that love Fish and Chips, the series and potentially the movie, they're going to be... They don't need to hear us talking about... What did we talk about? We talked about...
The houseplants and sexy thrillers.
Sexy thrillers. They don't want to sit through that. Mm. They want to get to the good stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
So we are jumping straight in with Fish and Chips, the movie, and so that you can just enjoy it. None of that hullabaloo, that's all in the other episode.
All right, so I will be introing the film today, and we're also...
And what's the name of that film, Mish?
It's Fish and Chips.
So we're watching. We watch Fish and Chips.
Fish and Chips, the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Fish and Chips. We really, for the fact that we've split the episodes, we should have brought it in with a much better movie.
As soon as
this is so stupid.
It's so ridiculous.
All right. Fish and Chips.
It's for all those Fish and Chips fans.
Well, there's got to be some of them out there.
Yeah.
This movie grossed $200,000. It did. I looked it up. Okay. Okay. Fish and Chips the movie is an animated movie from 2013 directed by Dan Kretsch. So if you're a fan of Elliot the Littlest Reindeer and Scourge of Worlds, the Dungeons and Dragons adventure, you might like this film about a cat named Chips and a fish named Fish. Fish has gotten a hold of Cat's special family heirloom, a little bone on a string worn as a necklace, kind of like surfers do. You know what I mean? Back in like the 90s. Mm. Fish obtained this bone because his ancestors ate Chips's family and then stole the necklace. Chips has been cut off from his wealthy family unless he finds this bone and returns it home. Chips attempts to obtain the bone through many lavish plans that never seem to work out in his favour. But when the bone goes missing, Fish and Chips, once enemies, must work together to find it. It's really colourful and a lot happens and the credits are in Comic Sans. John voices Chips the cat. Okay. I have never, ever seen this movie before.
Yeah.
I had never seen a poster of this film.
Yep.
I've never heard anyone speak of this film.
Yep.
I know nothing about, until I watched it, knew nothing about this film. I would be willing to place money that of my 50 closest friends and family, I am the only person who has watched this film except for you.
Yeah, I was going to say. I remember when I worked at the cinema, there would be one of these every few months, just this like weird movie about like birds or fucking things and like, and they would get celebrities to do the voices.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have the, it would always just be this weird fucking poster of a bunch of fucking animals and then like a whole bunch of names across the top of the poster.
Yep.
And they were always really, they were like, who, you know, Fish and Chips, the movie, was very lucky to get John Leguizamo because he is a voice actor.
Yeah.
But often they would just be like, John Voight. Like, you know, like just these strange, John Voight, Elijah Wood, and like, you know, I don't know, just some fucking actor as Parrot. And so there is a chance I worked at a cinema when this film came out. When was it? 2013. There is a chance this came out at the cinema I worked at some one Christmas, one holiday season, and it was playing down in cinema 4, which you know what that means.
Yes, I do.
And but I have no memory of that. This movie, it's amazing that it existed. And sometimes, this is my final thought. I'm going to do my final thought up top, but then we'll keep talking. Sometimes I say to myself as I'm watching a movie on the television, sometimes I say to myself how cool this podcast is, not for the fact that I get to hang out with my mate, not for the fact that I get to talk about cool shit, not for the fact that I get to show a different side of myself. The thing I love most about this podcast is not the podcast itself. It's the discovering of cool and interesting new movies that I would have never heard of.
Yeah, that's right.
Or man, that I would have never gotten around to watching.
Yeah, man.
You know, we've got a few of them. And as I was sitting there, as I was watching this film, a very similar thought came into my head, which was, I would have never heard of this movie.
Mm.
This movie would have never passed my way.
And it's remarkable. I would be willing to bet that Alexi Toliopoulos hasn't heard of this film.
No one's heard of this film.
And I use Alexi as an example, as he is easily the biggest fan of film
he's
I know.
He's a big cinephile.
Cinephile.
Is what he identifies as.
I will ask him when we see him next.
Yeah, and he probably would know it. But no, he probably doesn't. And usually I go, man, I never would have heard of this movie. And even when it's not a good one, you know, even when it didn't quite work, Nancy was one where it didn't work for
That's
me.
The one you use an example of not a good one?
No. That's a one where it didn't punch me in the gut. It wasn't like, because there's ones like The Take and there's ones like, even I had heard, like I very much heard of Land of the Dead, but I hadn't have gotten around to watching it. But The Take's probably the best example. That's a movie I never would have watched, and I loved it, right? Nancy is a movie I never would have watched. I never had to watch it. It wasn't like it didn't change my world, but it was really nice to watch, and I learned a lot, and I had – but this is what I'm saying is like – but even the bad ones. There are even bad ones where I go, man, I never would have heard of this movie, and isn't it cool that someone has put 2 years of their life into this thing and I'm watching it now. I get to experience this little thing they made. That's really nice that I'm seeing this thing that never would have been in front of my eyes, and maybe I don't like it, maybe it's no good, but there's a couple of little moments here that I get to see this person trying something. Usually it's a positive thing. When I thought, I never would have seen this movie. I can't tell you how from the depths of my soul that was a negative statement with this one. I just was like, the movie's fine. It's whatever. It's about a little cat and a fish going on adventures. But I was just like, I did not need this in my life, little catfish.
I got so excited because YouTube has given this the wrong, what's it called? GPGM.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What is that called?
Yeah, like that, PG, rating. Yeah,
rating, thank you. It's given
classification.
It the wrong, thank you, that's the word I was looking for. It's given it the wrong classification because, again, never heard of this film. When I went to rent it, it was like R18 plus. I'm like, so funny. My God. This is an adult animation, and I'm on board for that. I could get on board for an adult animation right now. It's not. They did the classification wrong. This is G as fuck, and it is. I don't really understand who the target audience is for this because, like, it's
kids.
But the cats are drunk,
yeah.
And like the fish, like, is obviously like in the mafia has a shark bodyguard that's violent, and they're all eating each other. But also it's definitely not an R. Like, it's a kid's – there's no swearing or sexy bits or, like, it's a kid's film.
It's like – but, I mean, did you see who produced it in the opening titles?
No.
It was, like, the main production company for Fish and Chips. The movie was Fish and Chips Productions.
Oh, yes. Look, do you know what else drives me crazy is I went to pull up all the details for Fish and Chips.
The fact that you know it made $200,000 is really funny.
Yeah, right? So it made $200,000. It cost $2.5 million and it made $200,000.
How did they get $2.5 million?
I don't know. Probably because they had John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Because another spoiler warning, this director also directed Get Squirrely, which we haven't watched yet. Oh. Another Johnny Leg, so they probably know each other.
I saw when I was looking for it that there is a Fish and Chips TV series. I don't know if it came before or after. Well, I presume if it's called The Movie, it came after. Do you know the answer to this?
Well, what I was going to say was that I went to look up Fish and Chips to get some details. Fish and Chips, right? And there is another film from 2011.
I saw this.
Called Fish and Chips. And it's a British Cypriot drama film. And let me just read to you the plot of this.
I nearly downloaded Fish and Chips, the Cypriot film.
Fish and Chips follows the story of Andy, a Greek Cypriot immigrant in London who works like a slave with his ex-East German girlfriend Karen and her daughter Emma in a fish shop owned by Jimmy, a Turkish Cypriot. He uses Jimmy as a nickname. His real name is Hassan.
See, now this.
That I could.
That's the sort of thing I'm talking about when I say I never would have heard of this movie.
Yeah.
I would go, that movie probably needs. My guess, I haven't seen it. The sound isn't great. The sound's not great. And it needs a little bit more, narrative drive. Now, I've never seen Fish and Chips, the Cypriot drama. But that's the sort of movie I would watch that and I would get something out of that.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much, you know, when you're at your sister's house or your brother's house or if maybe you're a little bit younger, you're at your auntie and uncle's house and they've got young kids and...
Oh, there's middling sound on.
Thing on.
Yeah.
And it's just this weird and it's like animated and it's 3D animated and like it's animal, it's anthropomorphic.
But I think
animals.
Even my nephews and nieces... wouldn't be they wouldn't sit through this. It's background noise for them too.
Yeah, well, no, they stare. I mean, you know, like toddlers, they like just stare at the television.
Yeah, toddlers are so stupid.
Yeah, they're dumb. And that's what this movie is. This movie is for parents. Look, I don't know, but it's for parents to
put
on.
Who are sick of Encanto. They're sick of listening to, we don't talk about Bruno.
No.
They're like, oh, let's just chuck this one on.
It's
something they rented at the library.
Yeah.
They rented the DVD at the library and they've chucked on Fish and Chips and the kids are just like, for 45 minutes, please just space out in front of this.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what I did for 45 minutes.
Right.
Spaced out. Do you want to know a fun story about my watching of Fish and Chips, the movie?
Please.
So I got home at about midnight last night and I was... oh shit! I don't have time to watch it tomorrow, because I thought I would, but I've had a stacked day today.
Yeah,
stacked day.
Yeah,
and I had already ordered some fish and chips.
Late night fish and chippy?
Yeah, well, I forgot to eat dinner.
Where was this fish and chippy that's open at midnight?
Just, I don't know.
Like a local
I'm not going to dox myself.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
But I Uber Eats it, so it was a bit away from me. And, yeah, it was late night open because I was just like, you know what, I'll get some fish and chippies. And that was all that was open. And then that came. And then I was like, oh, and I've got to watch Fish and Chips. And then I sat on my little chair because my sofa hasn't come yet. And I had my fish and chips. And I was like, this is fun. I thought, this is fun. And then the title started and I said, this is not for me. I can't tell you how quickly I was just like.
No, it's like immediate. The thing is, the title, it's like they spent so little time on the. It's like they forgot to do the titles and then they just did it. In like, yeah. It's literally Comic Sans. Like they've just.
It doesn't feel like titles. It's so strange.
No, it doesn't. It feels like a media film in high school.
Yeah.
Like I swear I made something similar, like as in the titles, in high school.
Like, and it's like, there's a lot of shade going on here from me. And, but it's also like, this is just a movie for kiddies.
Well, that's it. But like also, I'm sorry. If we can't say this is bad, what can we say is bad?
No, it is bad, but it's like it's not for me.
Yeah, I agree.
It's bad in the way that, you know, like a baby food would be bad. If I were to sit here and say banana and carrot mush from a jar is bad, you'd go, well, of course it's bad to you. You're an adult.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I would say. This is not good.
But also like Puss in Boots is for kids and I could sit through that. You know what I mean? And then like Encanto, well, that's like a family movie.
Yeah, no, that's I love. I mean, Lion King, one of the best.
Bluey? Have you ever watched an episode of Bluey?
Love Bluey.
I have never watched a full episode of Bluey.
There's some great ones.
People always say that. There's like really good ones. You got to get into it.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. It's very beautiful and profound and I think some of the best Australiana I've ever seen. It captures, you know how so much Australian cinema and film and TV is like an imagined Australia? It's people living in the city who've only ever lived in the city imagining working class people in the desert.
Yes.
It's like, you've never been to the desert, cunt.
Yeah.
This is the Australia we know. Mm. Like there's a scene that's set in there's an episode, a whole episode.
When have you watched Bluey?
I have nieces and nephews.
So do I. I don't watch TV with them though.
Well, you know, maybe you should be a little more present in their life. No, I'm just fine. I'm just fine. I love TV and I'm also awkward, so I'll just go and watch the TV with the kids. It's beautiful. It's like I said, there's this episode out the front of a Chinese restaurant and it's them picking up takeaway and it's just a whole, it's like a single. It's like in real time, this scene about like the kid wants a drink and they're waiting for the Chinese. They don't have the full order. And it just is so Australian. And there's just so much like, it's just so real. And I love it as well.
I miss that. I was saying to my partner the other day, I was driving home and I called him, hands free, but I called him. And
I don't know what it is, but the energy that fish and chips has put us in, we're so like fucking nervous.
I was driving home, man. I was driving home and I was like, I called my partner. I was like, what do you want for dinner? And he goes, oh, I'll order something. I'm like, no, I'm on my way home. Just tell me where you'd like me to go. And he's like, oh, just grab a Thai. And I was like, okay. And so I pulled over. I've never been to this Thai place before. They're not on Uber Eats.
Yeah.
And I got out. There were people in there. It was busy. Yeah. Like, not busy, but and it had the same decor as it did from the 80s. And I got out and I ordered a Thai. And I picked up the Thai and I had it home in 4 minutes, piping hot.
Yeah.
And I was like, I miss that. Like, I miss going to get a takeaway with the fam. Like we, and I know I've said this on the pod, I'm not doxing shit because we don't live there anymore, but Ivanhoe Chinese was my local Chinese growing up. And I stand by it being the best local Chinese,
Everyone's local Chinese.
But Ivanhoe Chinese is phenomenal. And I remember we would be at home and mum would be like, we'll just go get a takeaway. And she'd be like, oh God, I don't want to get in the car. Do you know what I mean? So I don't want to get in the car, but then we'd all pile into the car and then we would all get out. So my sister would wait in the car because she just liked to listen to music or something. And I would go and we would order Chinese. Oh. And it's like such a memory.
So my, the actually the best.
And chicken with cashew nuts was what I always got.
Actually the best Chinese restaurant is actually Churchill Chinese, actually.
No, it's not.
No, it's a bit, nor is, you know, that's the bit.
Yeah.
So Churchill Chinese, right, this is a really funny story. This is the one we went to. So is Churchill, where I grew up, had a university attached to it because they thought, during the boom of coal mining in the 60s and 70s, they thought this town is going to become a really big town.
Yeah.
So they put a Monash out there. It's not a Monash anymore. It's Federation Uni now.
Okay.
But they put a Monash campus out there. You know how all the universities have these weird little outlier, like Bundura, RMIT? And, so they had a little, they had a Monash out in my hometown. And so it meant that there were sometimes Chinese students at the university. So when I would go, I noticed we would just get our, you know, chicken and cashew, all of that stuff. And I would notice that the Chinese students would sometimes talk to them and go, excuse me, like they would ask for another menu, a different menu. And I'd be like, oh, what's this?
Hmm.
And I was like 12 at the time. And they would go, do you have the other menu? And I'd see them get another menu. And then they get like fancy Melbourne looking shit. And then like I built up the confidence one day because it was like no one had ever told me about the other menu. Mm. I'd never really seen. I just saw them getting a different menu. And I built up the confidence. It took me like weeks. And finally I was just like, excuse me, do you have the other menu? And I had to have the confidence that I knew it existed. This is 12-year-old boy is like, pretend you know, pretend you know. I was like, do you have the other menu?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah. And then they brought it out and it had like Szechuan chicken. It had like all these like things that I would never have again until I went to Hong Kong or the city or like for my little Churchill Chinese. It blew my fucking mind.
Oh, I love that.
So when I discovered the other menu. Anyway.
See, I would argue that Ivanhoe Chinese has not changed.
No, Churchill Chinese.
But the thing is, I haven't lived in Ivanhoe now for a really long time, so it could change owners. All I'm saying is that 1999 Ivanhoe Chinese was the best.
We used to warm up our plates. Mum used to put plates in hot water so they were warm when the Chinese got home. And this is what Bluey does. Bluey's this sweet, funny little cartoon, and it's just entertaining for the kids, but underneath it, like, I just told you a synopsis of one episode and we just went on this track.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
What we would do, oh, the best ones.
See,
though,
look at this. This is why
the best was on Friday nights. You would order the Chinese and you would walk five doors down to Blockbuster Video.
Ah.
In Ivanhoe Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Where we were the number two family in Ivanhoe for rentals. The number two. I don't know who number one was. Fuck them, but we rented a lot.
Yeah.
And we would get the two overnights and five weeklies.
Love that.
And my sister and I were each allowed to choose a weekly. No, two weeklies.
Amazing.
So we, and like, or three, I think three between us or some else shit like that. And we would rent all these VHS tapes, DVDs or whatever, and we would go get our Chinese and we would watch whatever family movie in that bunch. And then my dad would get like Dances with Wolves and shit like that. But whatever family movie was in that bunch that we could watch as a family, we would watch.
Do you see though why, like, why everyone loves Bluey? Because it's like,
oh,
how much, how, like, all art, not just entertainment. Mm. How often do you get Australian art or entertainment that captures what we've just talked about?
100%.
Like, they're so concerned about, and this is the other thing, producers, executives, love them to pieces. Thank you for your money. If you're listening, thank you.
Thank you for the future money. I'm sure you want to give.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Give me.
But so many producers, executives always talk about, they always talk about like international buyers. They're always like, oh, we worry that it's too niche. We worry that it's too specific. We worry
look at
that
Bluey.
You look at fucking Bluey. Bluey is the most specific perfect little encapsulation of Australiana, of our lives, of everything, and it's the biggest fucking thing in the world because you tell a personal story. This is about diversity of storytellers as well. You tell a personal story. If it's personal enough, if it's profound enough, then it becomes universal.
Yeah.
Universal doesn't come from softening the edges, from creating a boring anadidamus. It's from, and that's what I cannot believe Fish and Chips has evoked this conversation.
Hey, what's your fish and chips order?
Oh, great.
Mine's changed since being vegan, I've got to say, obviously.
Obviously, because there's a core component there you can't
eat. Of course. But for me,
yep.
It's a chippy.
Yeah.
Right?
So glad that we've split the episode so we could just focus on the film.
Yeah, that's fine. So we can finally just talk about the food.
Now we're just talking about the movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell me your fish and chips order.
So I get chippies and I watch them put the salt on. And if I want a little extra, because I like salt, I'll be like, oh, can you chuck a little extra on there for
me? That's great. You know, in Scotland, have I told you this about Scotland?
You can order no salt.
No, not only you can order no salt, they ask you, do you want salt? So it's like,
that's crazy.
It's like, that's a question. When I remember I was like day one in Scotland and I went to a fish and chip shop and they're like, do you want salt? And I was like, oh no, because that means some people say no.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
And I get two potato cakes.
Yum.
Really yum. And if there happens to be a salad bar.
Oh, yeah.
At the.
God, how good's a salad bar?
At a fish and chippy.
Or just anywhere. Anywhere where the salad sits out. Like a pub salad bar.
Remember I will pick a salad, often with one that has kind of like a vinegar, like often a Greek salad, which is just like tomatoes and cucumbers, but that has that like vinegary stuff at the bottom. And I sometimes dip my chippies in the vinegar.
That's really good.
But jarred tartar sauce, the stuff that doesn't need to go in the fridge, is vegan. And I do eat that. And I put that on my potato cakey.
Yeah, what's its main ingredient?
Oh, oil.
Oil, yeah.
Yeah, like.
My fish and chips order is fish. I love a flake, and apparently that's
battered
bad.
Or fried?
Battered and fried, not grilled.
Okay.
Yeah, fried
fish.
So
that's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, fried fish, chips, and two dimmies. I love a dimmy. Mm. Really? Really? The fish is optional. I would have dimmies and chips.
I used to love
dim sim.
I used to love a fish and chip shop burger.
There was one.
No bacon. This was even when I ate meat.
Yeah.
No bacon. No egg. No pineapple.
Because
I don't want
any
of that on there.
You've mentioned two things now. You've said salad bar and you've said fish and chips burger. That has made me think of beetroot, and I love a tinned beetroot.
I love a tinned beetroot. I'm not a fan of a roasty beet. Like you chuck a beetroot.
I don't mind it, but it's
I'll deal with it. But like a beetroot in the oven, nah, not for it. But a canned beetroot in a sandwich.
Do you know one of my favorite things? You know, is a salami sandwich with beetroot and a bit of lettuce and
mayonnaise.
Like, yeah, like
mayonnaise,
a salad sandwich.
Oh my God, Zach!
Salami and a tin beetroot
with white bread.
That is summer to me.
Oh,
that is like
white bread, mayonnaise, beetroot, lettuce, cheese. Salt and pepper.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Pickles?
So I go salami, all I know is there's salami, there's butter or margarine, there's salami, there's tinned beetroot, there's lettuce, and then, you know, other things depending on what I'm vibing.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, maybe now to mix it up, I'd put it in a Turkish roll, but I want the softness of a white bread.
I want one of those white breads that's the size of two hands put together.
Yep.
Two hands. I just covered the mic. Two hands put together.
Yep.
And when they slice it on an angle.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's summer. That is for me.
A sandwich
that
bar.
With a cordial. That, what I've just described, that's with a cordial down by the beach.
I know I've been through this before with you and probably on the pod, but I'm fucking obsessed with a Baymarine sandwich. Like a pick your own and we just chuck it on there for you. They don't make them like they used to, but that Bluey episode about that.
Yeah.
They've got to make one because that's Australia going in. Well, that's everywhere, I suppose. There's also like bodegas.
But they do the Chinese.
Delis and
you should watch the Chinese restaurant episode. And they've just released a 28-minute long episode. It's their longest episode yet. And apparently everyone cries. But I never watch it on my own. I have to watch it with kids. I feel weird watching Bluey on my own. So
hey, Zach, I'm so glad we split the episode to talk about the film.
Me too.
I reckon let's give our Legwa Starmos.
Well, what, do you have any final thoughts? Because I do have one. I have a final admission, which was not an admission.
Oh, I do have a final thought, yeah.
But I was on my phone for the entirety of this film.
I'm sure you were.
To the level that I'm not even going to list it on Letterboxd.
Oh, wow. So you didn't watch this?
No, I watched it. It was on.
I think that's all it needed to be for this.
Because I feel like you do that sometimes. I own it.
Zach, I have an admission.
Yeah.
I watched this movie while I was working.
Yes.
And my job is on the phone.
So sometimes I admit to that. See, sometimes I admit to that, right? Mm. And then you're like, oh, Zach. But I'm like, no. Like, but I think I'm very bad at multitasking. Mm. Like, if I'm doing something else, I'm not watching the film. But yeah. It was on. It was, you were working. I don't think anyone expects more of us. But I just don't feel right putting it on my Letterboxd.
That's fine.
But and that's why I just need to admit to that if anyone follows both. But I also I'm aware of it. He went underwater to get the bones of his dead cat.
Great.
I saw he was drunk.
My final thought is the guy who plays Fish is Mario Cantone. Mario Cantone also played Anthony in Sex and the City. And his voice is incredibly different in this than it is in Sex and the City. And I just thought that was an interesting thing to note. But no, I will never watch this movie again. And I will never talk about it with anyone. And I will go to my grave knowing that no one in my life other than you has seen this film. How many are gone?
I give this movie.
He starred in it. Hard. He was the lead.
He was the lead. And he was the one that got it made and all of that. Nah, I give it one. I give it one Legwa Starmo.
Okay.
Because, like, what the fuck is this movie?
It gets 2.5 from me because it's a voice work job. He got it done. He leads in it. It's clearly him.
I just think
it gets 2.5 Legwa Starmos, but like, what does that mean, really?
I give it one Legwa Starmo because, and I'll tell you why, because I just, this is coming from the gut and now I'm trying to intellectualize it. But what it is I really love John Leguizamo.
I know you do, man.
He's one of my faves.
I know.
And sometimes, you know, the Legwa Starmo system is about, could other people have played it? Sometimes it's, but for this one, the reason I give it one is because it gives, in fact, I lower my score. I give it half a Legwa Starmo. Because as a John Leguizamo fan, it gives me nothing.
Okay.
If someone came to me and said, I love John Leguizamo, make me a list of movies to watch, you can make it as long as you want. I want a comprehensive vision of his career. I would not put this on the list.
Okay.
I would put, there are other animated, I would put Puss in Boots. I would put, here's the, if you want to see John Leguizamo giving him an afternoon, doing some easy stuff, there's like four other things I would do before this. This gives me nothing and enriches me in no way.
I respect it. I'm sticking with my 2.5.
No, I love you. I love it.
My 2.5 comes from, he's the lead in this.
Yeah.
It's a voice acting job, which we all know he smashed. Yeah. There's no way this movie would have gotten made without him in it. Mm. But that in itself, should that list of things should be worthy of a 4. At least.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
But it gets
right.
a 2.5 from me.
Do you know what I desperately want to do now? Is regardless of if we
Chinese.
Talk about it. No, I want to watch John Leguizamo dancing to Latin music and making a Cubano in Chef. I need my John Leguizamo fix.
Yeah, we need some.
Now, as the listener, you're going, ooh, no, we're not getting to Chef yet. Calm your farm.
Chef is a really big moment for Zach. You have to understand.
Chef's one of my favorite movies. I watch
That's
Chef
how I feel still. About Moulin Rouge.
I still watch Chef. I've watched Chef since we've done this podcast.
I can't explain to you, Zach, how badly I want to watch Moulin Rouge. And I know I could. And I know you're looking at me going, well, just watch
No, I'm the same.
There is one scene of John Leguizamo in that movie that I have watched maybe a dozen times in the last 3 years just to get my fix of how much I love him in that film. And it's that things aren't always as they seem. It's like people think that I'm just this vice-ridden gnome who's friends with pimps and girls from the brothels, but I believe in art and love.
I don't even remember that bit. See,
because I long for it with every fibre of my being.
I watch
She loves Chef. You, Christian. Sorry.
I watch it's Chef a beautiful every now scene. And then. The reason I cut you off is because I was like, I don't remember that bit. And I've been very purposeful. I've wanted to watch Moulin Rouge a few times and I've held it off because I'm ready for the to be reminded of how
I
much
I think about
him.
That scene and I cry. I think to cry. I don't cry. But that scene is so, he is so, because he's just, we've got to watch Moulin Rouge, man.
No, hold on.
He's just been so wacky and campy and fun and crazy. And then he has this little moment where Christian's having a fucking mentee bee. And he comes in and he's like.
Very beautiful. Things don't give it away. Don't give it away. I can't wait. I have not seen Moulin Rouge in a very long time. It's one of Baz Luhrmann's.
Oh, my God. It's such a good scene. I want to watch it right now.
Do you know what I'm going to go watch? I'm going to go watch, to get that hit, I'm going to go watch Strictly Ballroom. Because I haven't
watched
seen
it
that
the
in
other,
ages.
I watched that like the other month.
Yeah.
Not even like a month
ABC
ago, maybe.
iView.
Yeah, that's where I watched it.
Yeah. I messaged Alexi, posted about it. I'm like, where'd you watch it?
That's why I watched it.
This is the Alexi fan club.
That's why I watched it. I saw Alexi had watched it. I often screenshot things. Alexi is like, I recommend this. And I'm like, I got to watch that now. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. I hope you liked the split of the pod, especially for those movie fans who wanted to hear all about fish and chips.
If those fish and chips fans are frothing it.
Tom, could you please take us away with a funky beat? And over the top of the funky beat, could you give us your fish and chips order, please?
Yeah. And just if you are here just because you're a fish and chips fan, check out the episode we put out earlier this week. You might like it. You know, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Thanks so much for listening. We will see you next week. Bye.
So usually I do get a hamburger with a lot and get a couple of potato cakes, a couple of dimmies with chicken salt and vinegar. I'm big on my vinegar and my fish and chips. But if I am like in the mood for fish, I'll get a couple of calamari rings fried, of course, and a flake.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.